February 15th, 2025. It's Saturday, and it's time for This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. I'm your host, Don Brown, and I'm coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in my beloved Banting Park neighborhood in Waukesha. I am joined by my faithful producer, the mighty Max Martinson, down at the WAUK studios in Radio Park on Victory Avenue. And we're looking forward to another great set of podcasts today. My first guest was on my radio show back in the, I believe it was the late spring, early summer, when she was running for state senate and ran a very hard-fought campaign in a very tough district. But again, made us all very proud as Waukesha residents. And now she is added again, running for the 14th District Aldermanic seat on our Waukesha Common Council, challenging the two-time incumbent, Rick Lemke. Megan Locke, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Don. I'm great. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to join you on Saturday mornings.
Sounds great. So the first, I guess, open-ended question is, why are you running for 14th District Alder?
You know, it's a really good question. I think a lot of it has to do with my experience. Of course, growing up in the area, being a mom, but also just seeing over the last year and a half, more of the people of Waukesha than I ever have in my entire life during my candidacy for state senate. During that entire time, I met thousands of people. Some directly in Waukesha, some a little bit outside of it because the, you know, it had a little bit larger district, a little bit larger reach than city council.
Sure.
But it just, it really resonated with me even more than it already had, that we really live in an amazing place. And I just feel a responsibility, but also kind of like a calling, if that's not too cheesy.
No.
To, you know, be a part of our local government, because it's just, it's the best way to stay connected with people, yeah. But also, you know, I am a mom and I care deeply about what happens in our city and in our state. But it's also because I love the families that I've gotten to meet over that time, in addition to the ones that I've already met in the past, and just want to be able to help in all reality, because a lot of people that I talked to while I was on the campaign trail talked about all the struggles that they're having, especially when it comes to things like what's happening with local taxes, mm-hmm. and just being able to understand where those dollars are going, how they're being spent, and what sort of an influence I can have on that to help them as well. So okay. There's a lot that goes into why I'm running, but sure. Ultimately because I love our city and I feel an obligation to make sure that our tax dollars are being spent as responsible as they can be, so that we can take care of everything we need to within that budget, as well as our families who live here and give us those tax dollars.
So based on that answer, Megan, it sounds like you've been hitting the bricks and knocking on a lot of doors. How do you feel the voters have responded to your candidacy and what you represent?
It's always really funny when you knock on someone's door, because any more people really don't expect it. And they're never really sure. They're like, am I getting a package? Is something wrong? You know, and then there's this person that I may or may not know exists at my door telling me that they're running for office. And then once they, you know, their brain kind of catches up with the situation, they're excited most of the time, because they're just like any one of us. Like, yeah, I care about what's happening in Waukesha. You know, I want to complain about my taxes because they did go up fairly recently and fairly substantially.
Sure.
At the same time, you know, knowing how those dollars get spent, but also knowing what makes most, what takes the highest priority for them is more important to me. And that's why I enjoy going to those doors, because our current alderman is a nice man, but I don't know him. I don't know a lot of people who do know him outside of the people that work directly with him, and maybe his direct neighbors. But Alder is such a small community, mm-hmm. that we should have more people that are out there, yeah. who actually know who you are. So that's one of the reasons I'm excited to do this. But yeah, going door to door, it's a unique opportunity to meet people and really understand what is most important to them
you know, it was one of my critiques when I was on the Common Council, and I believe it's gotten worse with some of the new elders in there, is that they behave more like a corporate board of directors instead of a legislative body beholden to the people that voted for them. And what would you do to maybe kind of break up that cycle and to be more accessible to the people and get people more engaged in our local government?
Transparency is what it comes down to for me. Mm-hmm. You know, being accessible in general, inviting people to come and meet me, you know, at a local coffee shop, you know, go check out. That was one of the things as a part of this campaign, is finding places to meet, because in my specific district, it's very residential. So a lot of times we end up going, you know, into other districts and spending time in places like Steaming Cup. But it's just finding common ground, because I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget about with local government and city council. It's nonpartisan. We're not here to pick a side. We're here to find the best people possible to help run our government and create that transparency. You know, personally inviting people to city council meetings, reminding them when they are, but also reminding them when we have special meetings, because one of the things that's happening in our districts is, you know, this is the last semester for UW-Milwaukee Waukesha campus.
Right, right.
Which is really such a disappointment, but I understand because I'm also on the financial advisory committee for my daughter's school district. And it's just enrollment in general is down, and financials are just a really unique beast when it comes to school districts and individual schools. So I get the decision they made, but getting the community involved and making sure that they know what's going to happen and that they are heard, and more than just, you know, bringing them to a public session, like actually just going door to door, or even having a listening session that's separate from the council meetings, I think is more important, because the more people understand that everybody in our district and in our wider city mostly want the same things, you know, they want transparency. They want to understand where their tax dollars are going. They want safe neighborhoods. They want a good police department. They want a good fire department, and they don't want potholes in their roads.
Yeah.
It's fairly simple, but it gets more complex when you, like you were saying, you know, people start operating like a corporate board, and they kind of operate behind closed doors seemingly. And that's not what I'm about when it comes to government.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found it to be very smug and condescending, a lot of my fellow council members, the way they reacted to when lots of people would show up for public comment or petitions would be signed. And there was just a complete disregard for people's concerns. But what you mentioned about potholes, you know, leads to my next question is, in addition to taxes, what do you believe are the biggest issues facing Waukesha in the next year or two?
I think it's just going to be partnering with the county on a lot of things. Some of the things that recently came up that I think are important to discuss are what's going to happen with our city and our county budgets, and what's happening with those kind of fiscal cliffs that we're coming up against, and how we're going to combat that. And earlier this year, you know, there was a proposed county sales tax. And I think that's a potential option. I think we need to look at more options, because I just don't think that people realize what's really happening because of lack of funding that we're getting from the state. And really understanding why we're running into some of the financial issues we're running into on both the city and county level. And that comes down to that shared revenue that is supposed to be coming from the state.
Right. It's our money.
Into our pocket. It is our money. You know, everybody says, oh, we have this tax surplus. A large portion of that tax surplus is money that's supposed to be going to county and city government, and it's not.
And for us to use at our discretion and for the best, you know, interests of the people we serve.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Those tax dollars need to go to work in our neighborhood.
Sure. So what would you say are some good strategies for, you know, engaging county and state legislators and related officials for how we can build stronger partnerships?
I think it comes down to the same way that I look at building stronger partnerships with our community in general. It's just, it's getting people on the phone. It's getting people in person outside of meetings and really understanding how we need to come together to achieve getting those, you know, for a very specific example, getting lobbying in partnership with our counties to our state government so that we can get those types of things. You know, that's one of the great things, even though I was not elected into office for the Senate. I know Julian Bradley personally now. He's our senator. And so for him to put a face to a name of somebody that's lighting up his email or lighting up his phone is, he understands that I'm not just a person coming out of nowhere, right? He knows exactly who it is contacting him about this. I've met Scott Allen, you know, from the assembly. He's going to be somebody that's going to be crucial to us making those types of decisions happen. And because we're nonpartisan, they know that we're coming from the best interest of the city that they also either benefit from or inhabit directly. So it's just a way of reaching out to the right people and finding a way to help us accomplish our goals so that we can all get where we need to go.
Okay. You know, you mentioned partnerships in your response and said that another great lead into my next question is that, you know, we have the oldest university in the state in our city, Carroll University. It's town gown relations are generally very positive. What can we do to strengthen that partnership and leverage Carroll's and the city's resources to build a stronger city?
I think we need people to ignore what they have as preconceived notions with college-age students. Because those are our kids.
Yeah.
So often you hear people bashing younger generations. And it's like, first of all, we collectively created them. They are the product of their society.
Takes a village. Right?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if there's something happening with younger generations, we need to take some of that onus and help guide them. Because yes, they are adults in the legal standpoint. But as we all know, what we were like in our late teens and in our 20s, we still needed guidance in a big way. So I think that as a community, especially because it's such a great place to raise families, it's just an extension of that family. And I know people love that college. And a lot of the people, well, the university now, it's one of those things that I always do. Just because I grew up in the area and I know Carroll College and then it changed.
You're not alone.
But yeah, it just comes down to just understanding what we are as basic humans and what we want.
Sure.
We want to live in an environment that can provide us, you know, what we need and basic needs, food, education, and community, and just finding ways to come together. And a lot of that, you know, like earlier this year, we had great weather for the 40th annual Waukesha Jamboree. And there's so many amazing events that happen year round. It's an opportunity to come and be a part of your community. And that's also a really great place for local politicians to get to know their community. Sure. Because why not participate? What is it? The Waukesha Friday Night Music, live music.
Friday Night Live,
Yeah, I'm sure you're there all the time. And, you know, I've taken my daughter in the past and it's just a great opportunity to enjoy the city, enjoy some great music, and mix and mingle and be, you know, a lot of times people, they're like, I'm not sure how to cross that divide. And sometimes it's just showing up.
Sure. Sure. So what's, you have a pretty established career in marketing. You're currently working as a director of demand generation for a company called Civic Plus, not to be confused with our own Civic Media, but Civic Plus, creates technology for local governments akin to the Granicus product that the city of Waukesha uses. How has your career and your professional experiences, how will that serve you as a legislator? How can you utilize those skills and experiences to become an effective alder?
Working at this company for the past 3 years has really got me into the mindset of various factions of local government. Mm-hmm. Because through Civic Plus, we offer 13 different solutions that we sell to city and county government. And I've had to get to know those various personas, from the communications and marketing side to the clerks to, you know, front and back of house administration, elected officials, and understanding why they would want our software. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that we have that's one of our core products is websites. And it kind of comes down to the principles that I agree upon. It's just like, what's the point of having a website? You know, it's becoming even more prevalent anymore because of what has happened post-COVID. Right. You know, sure. Government experienced the Amazon effect from retail.
Okay.
And it happened in a lot shorter time. So it's the opportunity to create transparency, create those connections in a digital way, and make it so that people can find all the information that they need in one place so that they can still interact with government. And that's one of the things that I would actually like to see happen more often with the city council is utilizing Granica's to, and my marketing team's going to kill me for promoting that. But in all reality, is utilizing their services to live stream their meetings so more people can participate in government, because we have such a large demographic of families that at 6:30 at night, they can't come to a city council meeting because they're feeding their kids and putting them to bed and reading books.
Yeah.
And it's just not accessible.
Good point. So in about, we have about 3 minutes. What would you like listeners to know about Megan Locke that we haven't covered yet and why they should vote for you?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. First is always the ask, right? You know, please vote for me.
Yeah.
That election's going to be on April 1st. But why you should vote for me is I'm your local mom. I've done the PTO. My daughter's in Girl Scouts. We just did rounds going around, you know, selling cookies to everybody. We did the posting.
How old's your daughter, Megan, if I may ask?
Oh, of course. Yeah, she's 8 years old.
Sure. And she's in one of the Waukesha local schools, one of the elementary schools.
She's in elementary school.
Terrific.
And yeah, I'm in the thick of it and I get it. Especially from a budgetary standpoint, because I am a single parent, I'm an only parent, and I have to be very conscious of how every dollar is spent. And then how every moment is spent, from work to taking my little everywhere she needs to go. Because even yesterday, because of the snow, we went snowboarding.
Nice.
I've been teaching her how to do that. It was
did you go to the Rock?
We didn't go to the Rock. We actually went further north. We go to Little Switch just because it's
cool.
Rural. But it's like,
now that's a great mom.
In one hand, half a dozen in the other, about 40 minute drive either
way. Okay. I thought it might have been further.
Yeah, it's not far. I'm a local parent that cares about how much we're being taxed, where that money goes, and making sure that our neighborhoods are clean and safe and what we need them to
be. Sure. Hey, this is a good little cut in for me to say, you know, best of luck to the Waukesha South snowboarding team, who's competing in the state finals this weekend. Best of luck to all of them. Yeah. Great group of young men and women. So best to them. So, and Matt, how are we doing? About a minute? Cool. Any final comment from Megan about you and your candidacy and what we can look forward to in the upcoming year?
What you can look forward to? We actually just got our signs this week. And if you haven't seen my website, it's lockforwisconsin.com. So LACHFORWI.com.
Thank you.
You can check that out. You can check out my various socials. But you'll notice a silly little cat. Nice. As my logo, and hopefully everybody will get some joy and some laughs out of that, because I figure let's change up the mundanity, if that's a word, we'll make it a word, of political signage and having
Sounds
fun
good.
With it.
Terrific. Megan Locke, candidate for 14th district aldermanic seat on our Waukesha Common Council. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Best of luck with the campaign and looking forward to seeing and hearing about more great things from you.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Don. And good to see you, Max.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and stick around for our second podcast, and see ya.